In Matthew 10:16, Jesus calls us to be wise as snakes and gentle as doves. But can we be gentle and wise when standing up for biblical principles and our voting rights as investors? Hi, I'm Rob West. It's annual shareholder meeting season for public corporations, and that means companies will be hearing from investors about their policies. Jerry Boyer joins us today with a biblical perspective on corporate engagement. And then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, Jerry Boyer is our longtime economist and a regular contributor here at FaithFi, as well as World News Group. Jerry, great to have you back.
Great to be with you, as always.
You know, Jerry, in addition to being gentle and shrewd, it might help us to consider how Paul was willing to suffer loss and insults as a Christian, but also his ability to stand up for his rights as a Roman citizen in Acts 22. Paul, as you know, informed his captors they couldn't beat him without a trial because he was a Roman citizen. So when you work with corporations and voting shares, are you helping Christians stand up for their rights in some way?
Yeah, I like that Pauline analogy. By the way, notice he didn't tell them before they beat him that he was a Roman citizen. So I think he was being very subtle,
right.
Like a snake, and basically kind of letting them do something that he knew then he could appeal to Caesar. So I think he wanted to get to Caesar because he had something to say. And Jesus even talked about that. You know, you're going to stand before kings and it'll be given to you what to say. We don't have kings now. We don't have nobilities, we don't have dukes, we don't have earls, we don't have lords and ladies. But we do have something like a ruling class. And you know where you can see that ruling class? You see them on boards of directors of public corporations. Either CEOs, former CEOs, or former public officials, university presidents, foundation people, the ruling class of America is on the boards of directors of corporations. And so you can talk to them. How can you talk to them? If you own enough shares, it's not that much, $2,000 worth for 3 years. You can put a proposal on the ballot and you can actually make your case. You can preach your message to them and you are legally afforded that privilege. But you have to be subtle. And that's the point, because the rules are complicated and you don't necessarily know how to do it. Paul knew enough Roman law to arrange it that way. So he got to speak before Caesar. What I try to do is know that law well enough so that I can help Christians also speak to the Caesars of our age.
Well, there's no question, Jerry, it's making a difference. Dig into this just a bit deeper and explain how proxy voting works and the potential impact it can have on a company.
Pretty much every right that you have as a citizen in the United States of America, you have a similar right as a shareholder of a company. In fact, the United States Constitution was to some degree, you know, the model of a CEO as president, et cetera, that was intentional on the part of the founders. So, you know, if you're a citizen, you get to vote. Well, if you're a shareholder, you get to vote. Well, who do you vote for? Well, if you're a citizen, you get to vote for members of Congress or the president. Well, if you're a shareholder, you get to vote for the board of directors. As a citizen, you can go to a town hall meeting and speak up. Well, as a shareholder, you can attend the annual meeting and speak up. How much do you have to own? Just one share, and you can speak at the meeting. Even a fractional share will get you in the door. And by the way, it's not usually in the door. It's almost always a log on. So you can do that, and you can ask questions. I just did that with a major bank and was able to ask some questions. Citizens in some states can put a proposal. They call it initiative. You put a referendum on the ballot and all the citizens vote for it. Well, it's not easy. You have to gain signatures. Well, in the shareholder world, if you own $2,000 worth for 3 years, you can also put a proposal on the ballot. And that enables you to speak at the annual meeting or delegate that to somebody else. And you put your question and your case before Caesar, before the CEOs, the Caesar EOs of American corporate life.
Yeah, quickly, Jerry, and we'll pick this up after the break, but how do you actually get one of those proposals on the agenda? How does that work?
Yeah, that's something we help with because there is a paperwork kind of thing. It's not easy to do. So we've been working with financial advisors. We don't really work with individuals, but a financial advisor can help. The advisor themselves can put these forward, or they can work with a client to put it forward. So there's certain kinds of paperwork that you have to put forward. You have to write it a certain way. There are word limits. There are deadlines. Again, just like Paul had to know Roman law in order to use it, we have to know Rule 14A8 of the SEC code in order to use it. But once you know how to use it, then it's in muscle memory, and it is that for us. And you get to have meet almost every single time we've done a proposal with somebody, there've been meetings with executives at the company beforehand. So there's a lot of ability to speak to kings with this.
Yeah, no doubt. We're talking with Jerry Boyer, our longtime economist. We're talking corporate engagement today. Much more just around the corner. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Gospel means good news. But when you read the Gospels in the Bible, you'll also read a lot about God's final judgment. And that is sobering. Will those who trust in Christ really escape God's judgment? In 1 Corinthians 1:8, the Apostle Paul gives these words of assurance. God will also keep you firm to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. From beginning to end, salvation is by grace alone. And this is good news. When the final day comes, a Christian has no need to fear. The Father will hold on to everyone, and each believer will be blameless. And it's all because of what Jesus has done. Grow in your walk with Christ with Anchor Devotional. Just visit getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
Weekday mornings at 8 Central, Pastor Jeff Shreve offers real truth for today.
I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries.
The world around us is rapidly changing, but God and His truth will never change.
I may be the host of the show, but I want God's Word and His truth to be the star of the show.
Join Pastor Jeff Shreve each weekday morning at 8 Central for Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. With me, our longtime economist and regular contributor, Jerry Boyer. We're talking today about corporate engagement as we enter shareholder meeting season for public corporations. And before the break, Jerry was sharing with us how proxy voting and shareholder resolutions work. And Jerry, for all intents and purposes, this is a relatively new idea that those who hold to a Christian worldview are showing up and entering this conversation in this way. Is that right?
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Evangelical Christians, if that's the moniker you want to use, or born again Christians, or those who hold the historic faith, however you want to describe us, we're really new to this. There have been people in the past who've been sort of faith aligned, but it wouldn't really be the biblical agenda. And as we get into what I'm seeing on the proposal, it's shocking to see how often the faithful tithes of church members past are being used by current church funds to undermine a biblical worldview. But yeah, those of us who actually believe in what the Bible says are really very new to this process. I think there were some wake-up calls. Some of the stuff that Disney did, for example, was a wake-up call for a lot of Christians, or Target, some of the stuff that they did, and which caused us to say, hey, wait a minute, what's going on? Well, it's been going on a long time. We just didn't know what was going on. And it's now coming to fruition, you know, like the wheat and the tares. Okay, the tares are showing up as tares now, weeds. And so we're kind of getting into there. I mean, the thing is, we have to avoid the temptation of just passive outrage at a distance. And that's largely what I've seen from conservative evangelicals up until now is it's just terrible. It's really bad what's happening, or an ever-growing boycott list. I mean, eventually you have to shop somewhere, right? As opposed to, wait a minute, let's change the culture of these companies where maybe the other side thinks maybe they need to do the boycotting. Mm. You know, like they keep trying to boycott Chick-fil-A, but people like the chicken sandwiches too much, so it doesn't work. So, you know, boycotting is a defense maneuver when you're losing the battle. Corporate engagement is a way to move things in our direction.
Yeah. And although there's a variety of issues being discussed, Jerry, when you and others engage in this way, typically at the core of this, it seems like it's a call to return the company's focus to the core business and get out of politics and other issues that they shouldn't be concerned about. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I agree. We're not trying to make these into conservative companies or companies, you know, spouting conservative propaganda. We're not trying to make these companies make Christian professions or anything like that. We're essentially trying to get them out of the culture wars. Now, it just so happens that from my standpoint, when they come down on a side, they're almost always coming down on the wrong side. But I don't want them to come down on the right side either, frankly, for most of these culture war issues, because it's not their core competence. It's not their function, right? A family has a function, church has a function, business has a function, school has a function. And I just don't trust corporations to be able to know how to adjudicate culture war issues. So, you know, basically, I don't know of any company that came out against abortion after Roe versus Wade was overturned. But a lot of companies came out in favor of it. So we didn't come out to these companies and say, well, you need to reverse and now denounce abortion. We just said, stay out of it. Not because we don't have views. I have very strong convictions about abortion, just because that's not a company's role. The other issue is, you know, there's a lot of religious liberty issues. There's been a lot of debanking of Christians or deplatforming of Christians, because pretty much, you know, there's a lot of the Bible that some people point at that and they say, that's hate speech. So if you can define biblical content as hate speech, and they have anti-hate speech codes with these major banks or with these technology companies, what do you get? You get cancellation of Christian content under the label of hate speech. So we've pushed to say, let's get rid of these vague terms like hate speech. We want very specific language about who you can ban and who you can't. We don't want to leave it up to you, corporations, because again, we don't think it's your core competence.
Yeah. Now, Jerry, I know you're engaging both corporations as well as government funds these days. So explain the difference between the two with regard to engagement.
Well, the government fund is over sort of on our side. It's the investor. Right. So what we do is we help governments to engage properly when they're investors. So just like, you know, you might own a share of stock, or maybe you have money in a 401k plan, or you have money in an ETF or a mutual fund. Well, these governments have these large pension plans, and they have a fiduciary obligation to invest for the good of the retirees, and also to vote in a way that's good for the retirees. So whatever you might think about this particular issue, if you're a Texas pension fund or school fund, and you're funded by oil and gas royalties, then it doesn't seem to be very fiduciary to your state if you're out there voting for decarbonization or voting against the use of oil and gas. And we can have a debate about that. I've got my opinions and other people have their own opinions, but it doesn't seem to be in the interest of Texas to be undermining its own industry. So what we're seeing now is we've helped create proxy guidelines that governments can adopt, and they're starting to do it, so that they are voting for get out of politics. They're voting for, you know, do not be pushing these companies to get out of the oil and gas business, because it's not good for shareholders and it's not good for our local economy. And let's put everything through the lens of what's good for the shareholder. Now, that's, we call that fiduciary obligation, but it's there in New Testament parables. You know, the parable of the talents is essentially a fiduciary parable. It's about when you entrust assets to somebody, do they use them for your benefit or do they use them for their own benefit?
Yeah, that's well said, Jerry. Can you share some updates from this year's shareholder meeting season, which is now well underway?
Yeah, we're seeing a whole lot of stuff from Christians now. and or conservatives about debanking, about deplatforming, and about religious discrimination based on religious or political view. So the debate is shifting. None of them are winning. They're not even getting very good votes. So we don't have a ground game yet. I'm just going to be honest about that, right? We're putting the proposals forward, but we don't have a get out the vote effort. So that's, you know, that's on the to-do list. So we're really shifting the debate. And I'm seeing when it comes to the big companies, instead of it being 10-1 proposals or 20-1 proposals from them compared to us, it's now getting more like 40 or 50%. So we actually really have a debate going on now. We've had a lot of meetings with companies. Some companies have responded very well and made changes. And said, for instance, J.P. Morgan Chase got rid of, quote, social risk as a cause to debank someone, because that can be anything. Any group, yeah. If you're banking Sam Brown back and somebody says, well, I'm mad because I don't like his politics. Well, that's social risk. Right. Mm-hmm. And you can cancel him. But they got rid of social risk in their WePay app. So we're making progress with this, but it's a slow progress. And I'd urge Christians to, part of the fruit of the Spirit is patience. The other side's been at it for 40 years. I've been at it for about four. Most of the new entrants have been at it for about one, so it is going to take some time to get things moving in the right direction.
Jerry, just about 45 seconds left. What would you say one or two issues you see coming on the horizon?
I think the big one that nobody knows about is just how much activists are using the proxy voting process to attack Israel, either by pushing companies to divest from Israel, pushing travel companies to keep people away from Israel, or pushing technology companies and arms manufacturers to disarm Israel. It's sneaky. It's hidden in the details of these things. A lot of Christians are going to get a proxy statement. They're not going to know it's there. They're going to throw it away. Christian asset managers are going to say, oh, well, this is risk of doing business in a conflict zone. I guess we'll agree with it and end up voting against Israel.
Wow. Well, we'll have to leave it there for today, Jerry, but I'm sure you'll have more on that in the days ahead. Thanks for stopping by, my friend.
Thank you. God bless.
That's Jerry Boyer, our longtime economist, also president of Boyer Research and a regular columnist for World News Group at WNG.org. Your calls are next, 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West, and this is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We'll be right back after this break.
Transgenderism, critical race theory, and evolution. Is your child or grandchild ready to face these and other issues on campus? Hi, I'm Kirby Anderson with Probe Ministries and Point of View. You know, many Christians leave the church after they graduate, but they don't have to graduate from God. That's why we have the Mind Games Camp this year, June 16 to 22nd, a week of presentations, role play, as well as fun at camp. Sign up today at probe.org and help them meet these challenges to their faith.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Hey, man, what are you doing?
I'm just lying here relaxing in a stream. I call it streaming.
Okay, you know that word already has another meaning, right?
AFA Streaming offers free and subscription video content. Titles like By Design, The God Who Speaks, and Asbury Revival, Desperate for More. You'll also find video versions of AFR programs. Visit AFA.net and click on Streaming.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Abraham Hamilton III, host of The Hamilton Corner.
American Family Association is on the front lines in the culture war in America. We've been here for more than 40 years, fighting for the biblical principles our nation was founded upon. And by God's grace, we are making a difference.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting American Family Association. Phone 800-326-4543, extension 345.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance Program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. It's time to take your calls and questions today. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. You can call right now. We've got our team ready for you. We'd love to dive into whatever you're thinking about in your financial life today. Let's begin in Florida. Howard, you'll be our first caller, sir. Go ahead.
Okay. So, Rob, thank you for everything that you do. My question is concerning if I should diversify where I have my investments. I am 65 years old. I have about $1.2 million altogether. Half of that is with a brokerage, LPL, and the other half is with a previous employer's 401k. Their return is about the same, but my broker would like to transfer all the money to him. However, I'm thinking about the possibility, since it is 650, of moving to a fee-based management for that one and keeping it separate. My concern is about putting all the eggs in one basket.
Yeah, I can certainly understand that. Let's talk through it. You said you're considering a fee-based option. How are you compensating your current advisor?
It is all by the percentage of – it's not fee-based. It is, taken off the top. So I'm kind of not seeing it. I'm just really seeing the returns.
Okay. Now, we would call that fee only in the sense that is he charging you based on the assets under management a percentage?
Yes.
Okay. And are you considering a different approach with this other 650, meaning you might buy load mutual funds or an advisor who charges a different way? What is it you're looking for there?
No, I think I'm looking for a advisor that would give me a different perspective.
Okay.
And so I've heard associates of mine who have half a million or more invested. Yeah. They usually just pay a straight fee of about 1.5% to the brokerage, and there are no other fees, no other transactions, no other changes, nothing.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Well, a lot of times you are going to pay based on the assets under management. I agree a point and a half would be very typical for a $500,000 portfolio. You tend to have additional fees on top of that. So, for instance, a lot of it depends on what type of investments they're using. So if they're buying individual stocks, that's the most cost-effective way because you might have a minor transaction cost just for the trade. But if they're with a Schwab or a Fidelity, it might be $10 or $20. At the most, which is negligible for a portfolio that size. If, however, they're using mutual funds, then you've got the management fee of the fund inside, and that's on top of what the money manager is charging to maintain discretion over those investments. But, I think this is pretty much customary and normal in terms of what you might pay. So I think the real question is, do you want to have everything with one advisor because you've got a long-standing relationship and you're happy with the returns, you feel like he really understands kind of the risk level you're looking to take and you're happy with the ideas he's bringing to the table. I don't think it would be out of school. I wouldn't, if you called me and said, Rob, I have $1.2 million with one advisor, and he's managing the whole thing, or his team is, I wouldn't say that's a bad idea. But I also can appreciate your desire to have maybe two money managers, each managing a half of the total investable assets. So I could go either way on that, Howard. If you're sensing that you want a second money manager, I mean, there is the potential for duplication. You're losing some of the tax benefits potentially of having one advisor who's really kind of streamlining everything and making sure that, across all of your investable assets, you have the right mix of investments so you're not taking unnecessary risk. But if you'd feel better having a second advisor in the mix, that's not a bad idea. I probably wouldn't go beyond that. So if you did, then I would, you know, probably go to our website, faithfi.com, click find a professional, and you could interview a couple of certified Kingdom advisors there in Florida. And that certainly wouldn't be a bad idea. I would advise that you do that over leaving it in the 401k, just given your stage of life and the fact that it's a previous employer. So I think as a next step, I'd either find a second advisor to bring into the mix or consolidate everything under your existing advisor, one of those two approaches.
So from what I understand at this point, I should check out a few of these other agencies, and if I'm satisfied, move it, and if I'm not, bring it over to my current advisor.
Exactly right. I mean, typically I would say for somebody who's got $1 million, find one trusted advisor and put everything there. But if you just feel like, you know what, I'd like to have, you know, two advisors kind of bringing two different schools of thought to the table, and that just makes me feel better, it's another level of diversification, then I can get on board with that. And I would find somebody that shares your values, and that's where CKA can be really helpful. But if you decided at the end of the day, you know what, I want to just put it all with this one advisor, I would say that's the more common approach, and I would certainly be on board with that.
Okay. Thank you so much, and thank you for what you do. I appreciate it so much.
You're very welcome, Howard. May the Lord bless you, sir. Thanks for being on the program. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We've got lines open today. Again, 800-525-7000. We're going to head to Wyoming after the break and talk to Russ. Unfortunately, I've got just a little bit of time before my first break, and Russ, I want to make sure we give you plenty of time to get that question on the table. Folks, with whatever you're thinking about in your financial life today, we want to be an encouragement to you. We want to remind you of God's approach and design for money. It's one of His good creations that we're to provide for our families with, that we're to enjoy. Yeah, it says that in 1 Timothy as well. And we're to give. Clearly on the heart of God is that we're to give, which breaks the grip of money over our lives and allows us to participate in God's activity, whether that's through systematic giving, starting with our local church, or giving beyond that, even sacrificially, perhaps even moving into balance sheet giving, which is so often missed. You know, so often we do our giving out of cash. Well, that typically is about 10 to 20% of your wealth. So that means 80 to 90% is on your balance sheet. Your greatest opportunity for giving is over there through stock gifts or gifts of other appreciated assets. And by the way, if you want to support the work of American Family Radio and AFA, the team at the AFA Foundation at afafoundation.net would love to talk to you about gifts of assets that have appreciated to support the culture transforming work of the AFA. All right, we'll be back with much more. Stay with us. Did you know the average person walks nearly 2,000 miles a year? Now think about the millions of children around the world who risk disease and miss out on opportunities simply because they walk those 2,000 miles without a decent pair of shoes. Around the world, Buckner Shoes for Orphan Souls provides access to health, education, hope, and opportunity through the gift of shoes. Visit giveshoestoday.org and find out how you can provide shoes for a child right now. When money takes a place that it was never intended to take, competing with first position in our lives, taken out of God's original context, our goal is to make sure that money stays in its proper context as a tool to accomplish God's purposes. We want to help you do that as we look through the lens of Scripture at the practical decisions and choices you're making every day. And so let's talk about it.
Faith and Finance with Rob West, weekdays at 9 a.m. Central or on the AFR app.
Frustrated by your health insurance? Confused by the network restrictions and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high cost of healthcare. Take back control of your healthcare with the ability to choose a provider you trust with no network restrictions and savings of up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
Are you searching for a way to become a better, faithful steward of the resources that God has given you? Well, download the FaithFi app and join the 37,000 others who are already using our app. The FaithFi app will provide you with wisdom, community, and simply help you stay on track with your finances. We have three money management options to choose from, so find an option that fits your unique needs. It's available on desktop or mobile. Simply go to faithfi.com and click app to get started.
Hey man, what are you doing?
I'm just lying here relaxing in a stream. I call it streaming.
Okay, you know that word already has another meaning, right?
AFA Streaming offers free and subscription video content. Titles like By Design, The God Who Speaks, and Asbury Revival, Desperate for More. You'll also find video versions of AFR programs. Visit AFA.net and click on Streaming.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Hey, thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. My name is Rob West. I'm your host today, and I'd love to take your calls and questions, helping you apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices. The number to call to be on the program today, 800-525-7000, with whatever you're thinking about in your financial life, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's head out to Wyoming. Russ, you've been very patient, sir. How can I help?
Hey, Rob, here's my question for you. You were just talking about earlier the debanking, kind of what's been going on with some of these larger banks. So we have a credit card we've had for 25 years, and it's one of these institutions. And because of what we've heard kind of about that in the news, we are going to switch and get one of these cards from Christian Community Credit Union because we really like the idea of giving back to ministry. Mm-hmm. So we applied for a card, and we got a letter back, but we were denied because they could not confirm our identity. Our credit score was 850, but they said that that 2 years ago, some other banking institution had put a fraudulent warning on our account. However, it's not on our credit. So I actually got a hold of somebody at Experian, and they don't have anything on there. They didn't see anything about it. They didn't know what they were talking about. But I guess the banks use a company called Meridian Link, I think. And Christian Community was nice, but they said I don't know if they're not allowed to. They couldn't tell me that bank. But we'd like to take care of it, but we haven't applied for any other credit. We have great credit. So we don't know who did this, and we don't know how to take care of it.
Hmm. Yeah, it's really interesting because normally what you would hear is that a fraud alert would be something that you as the consumer would place on your credit file. And it's essentially like a red flag that says that you have been the victim of fraud or of identity theft. And therefore, lenders who are considering credit being taken out in your name should do a little extra due diligence, before they extend the credit, because it may be fraudulent or it may be somebody impersonating you. But obviously, that would be something you'd place on your credit file with Experian, TransUnion, or Equifax. This sounds like what you're hearing is something that's more interbank. And I am not familiar with that, where a banking institution could issue some sort of fraud alert that you're unable to then verify your identity. So have you had this happen with Christian Community Credit Union or another bank?
No, it was while I was applying for a credit card to open an account with Christian Community, and they were great.
Okay. Yeah.
But they actually could, they knew the date. They knew everything. They said it was February of 2022. But I don't know if they weren't at liberty or didn't know what banking institution had put this fraudulent warning on our account.
Yeah. And was there a way you could do maybe some further identity, take additional steps to prove your identity that would allow them to go ahead and do business with you? Or was this just kind of an automatic denial?
The first conversation, it was automatic. They said we needed to look back and contact any banks we had worked with for credit to ask them to take this off. But we haven't applied for any credit. We bought a house 5 years ago with a mortgage, but we only have a credit card and a mortgage. That's all we have. And our credit report doesn't show anything else. And we couldn't recall anything else. So we're not quite sure where to go.
Yeah, interesting. All right, well, let us let our team look into this a little bit further, because again, I'm only aware of where you can place that on your credit file yourself, and that would just be to alert a creditor to do a little extra due diligence. Of course, there's always the banking institution, you know, notifying you of potential fraud where there's been a breach or something like that. But, you know, this idea that there could be kind of this general fraud alert put out there by an institution you've done business with that other institutions have access to and you don't, and essentially it disqualifies you from doing business just because there has been fraud out there, even though you're acting in good faith and would be happy to take additional steps to verify your information. That just doesn't sound right to me, and I'm not aware of it. And so what I'd love to do is, you know, take a little deeper look at this and then see if we can circle back on a future broadcast and comment on it a bit further. I might reengage with Christian Community Credit Union. By the way, I love this idea of aligning your values with your banking partner, and certainly Christian Community Credit Union at Join Christian Community is a great way to do that. And have they left the door open to you, you know, continuing to walk down this road with them and try to prove your identity in a way that is sufficient?
Yes, I believe so. I left another message yesterday, and I sounded like they were a little bit of a loss, too, as far as what they told me to talk to Experian, and I did, and they were great, but there wasn't anything I could do with them. So I was a little bit of a loss of the next step. But, yeah, I think the door is open as long as we can get this taken off.
Yeah, got it. But you don't know where you need to get it taken off, right?
I don't.
Which is challenging. All right, well, let us look into a little bit further. You've stumped me on this one, Russ. This is not something I'm familiar with, but obviously it's affecting you. And let us see if we can find out any more information on it, and we'll comment on it in a future broadcast. Hey, thanks for bringing this to our attention, sir. And if you do find out more information, send it along to us. We'd love to hear more. Let's go to Texas. Hi, Richard. How can I help?
Hi, can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay. My wife and I, we have two primary jobs. Well, she's retired and I have a primary job. So we pay, you know, our taxes, and we claim zero on that, paying the most through the year. And then we pick up other jobs. Like I have a side gig that pays me $800 a month. She has another job that she picks up temporary, usually last 6 to 8 months or so. We claim zero on those as well, too. And we've been, for the last 4 or 5 years, we've been kind of doing this. But every year we're having to pay in a substantial amount of extra money on top of what we already pay in our taxes. Well, is there something we can do or something we're not doing that we can help save?
Yeah. Is any of this income you're receiving, Richard, as an independent contractor where taxes are not being withheld, or is it all W-2 income?
It's all W-2. Yep.
That's really interesting. And you filled out a W-4 form with each of these employers?
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, I think it's probably time to visit with a CPA. I mean, this is a little strange because if you filled out the W-4 and they've changed in the last few years, so if you haven't done it recently, I would go back through it and you answer all the questions appropriately and, you know, you are not, you know, claiming, you know, extra deductions essentially through this formula. I mean, you can call your HR department and just say, listen, you know, I need to withhold even more. And, you know, you could take what the average is that you've been having to pay in every year and just make sure that that amount, I mean, they'll take out as much as you want. The W-4 form is usually pretty accurate. So it's a little strange that you're that far off. And maybe there's some deductions you're missing, just, you know, beyond the withholding. Are you doing your own taxes typically?
I am doing my own taxes, and I do. I typically don't do the itemization because I figure we fall under the standard deduction.
Most tax filers do. Is it a consistent amount the last few years that you've been having to pay in?
Well, no, because our amount of what we bring in fluctuates. So like last year, the year before, we made more, and it was we paid 13 in, and this year,
I've got to hit this break. Hang on the line. We'll talk a bit more off the air. Let me just say, though, finally, you can designate additional money be taken out of that W-4, so that's probably the next step. Hang on the line. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Tim Moore, senior evangelist on Christ in Prophecy. Can you see the signs of the times multiplying all around? Jesus is coming back, and he doesn't want his people to be unprepared. To stay up to date about unfolding events and get a biblical perspective on the signs of the times, listen to Christ in Prophecy here on American Family Radio. Join us Sundays at 11 a.m. Central as we reveal the prophetic hope for those who believe in Jesus Christ, as well as the Bible's warning about God's coming wrath to those who don't yet know him.
For many Christians, the end times can be a confusing and hard to understand topic. When the world finally comes to an end, how will the events unfold? This week on Pathway to Victory, Dr. Robert Jeffress provides an overview of the end times and explains what will happen during the rapture. Join us this week for Pathway to Victory with Dr. Robert Jeffress.
Weekday mornings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
Are you looking for a financial professional who aligns with your biblical values? Certified Kingdom Advisors are trusted financial, legal, or accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure they provide biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking Find a CKA.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Before the break, we were talking to Richard in Texas. He's just slightly frustrated. He's got multiple employers, and the amounts change in terms of what they're earning, but it's all W-2 income, and despite filling out updated W-4 forms, he's still having to owe a good bit, he and his wife, at the end of the year, and this has happened for multiple years. One additional thought, Richard, I know you're still with us. My producer reminded me of this during the break, and that is that each employer is going to withhold based on that income being your only income. The problem is that if you string all of these employers together, at least for a portion of that, it's going to be pushed up into a higher bracket, but they're not withholding for you based on the fact that you're in that higher bracket. And so you're probably just going to have to take measures into your own hands and just have additional money withheld, which you can do through the W-4 to essentially recognize that you've got multiple employers and they're not able to see that other income, and therefore the formula is not factoring that in with regard to the withholding on any one employer. Does that make sense?
That does make a lot of sense. I was kind of thinking that because I knew that we were pushed up into a higher tax bracket. What I wasn't thinking was that they weren't considering for the formula for being pushed up into a higher tax bracket. So, So I guess I could just go ahead and just get them to take out more on each one of them.
Exactly right. And that way it's not going to catch you by surprise at the end of the year. And, you know, you've already, and it might take you a couple of years to kind of figure it out. And I realize you said it's a moving target because you're not getting a consistent amount every year, but hopefully you can kind of back into an amount that represents what you're typically having to pay. And, you know, you're going to get closer to that number at the end of the year. So you won't have as big a check to write.
Right. Okay. I sure appreciate it. Thanks for your time.
Absolutely. Put one in the column under Devin Patrick, who is weighing in on that question today. Hey, thanks for your call, sir. 800-525-7000. I've got some lines open. Perhaps room for one or two more questions today. 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's take an email. This one comes to us from David. He says, he wrote, by the way, to askrob@faithfi.com. He says, my 401k is down over 51% from where it was 3 years ago. Is there anything I can do to help it recover? And wow, David, that's clearly a lot. I can understand your concern there. The markets have more than recovered from the setbacks incurred by COVID. And given that you're saying 3 years, you're even a little bit beyond that. So that would be out of line with what the broad market has done. Even though it's been a tough year, a couple of years for bonds, it, you know, had been a tough couple of years for stocks, although they've recovered. I will say that a lot of the concentration of the market's recovery, at least until recently, has been highly concentrated in some large kind of high-flying tech stocks, what they call the Magnificent Seven. And so if you're not in that, those stocks, or you were heavily in bonds, you know, you certainly have taken a beating. But despite that, I'm still surprised that you're down 51%. So it sounds like you're probably highly concentrated in one particular sector, which you can do through a mutual fund that kind of focuses on one slice of the market. And perhaps that sector has been beaten up, you know, over these last few years. So I think your next step is to get a financial advisor to step in and walk with you through this, perhaps evaluating the options that you have, and getting you more properly diversified and seeing where those maybe high concentrations are that's creating additional risk, and helping you look at the investment options there. I would guard against, David, though, this idea that I'm going to try to, quote, make it up by taking on additional risk. I mean, don't go into, you know, a tech fund or something because you're like, well, you know, I'm going to make up for lost time. As tempting as that is, let's take a more sure and steady approach to this, get you properly diversified. And I think in the end of the day, that's going to be the better posture for you. But thanks for writing to us. By the way, folks, if you would like to send us an email, you can do that at any time, askrob@faithfi.com. And Devin, by the way, David, if you'd like to find a certified Kingdom advisor in your area to help you with that 401k, just go to our website, faithfi.com, and click Find a Professional at the top of the page. All right, let's go back to the phones to Indiana. Hi, Michael. Go ahead, sir.
Hello. I just had a question on Social Security as to when to start receiving or taking benefits, and the pros and cons of taking it at 66 and 6 months, which I believe is when I'm eligible, versus waiting till 70, which I do intend to continue working through those years.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, we generally advise folks who don't need the money, and that would be, it sounds like, your case, because you are going to continue to work until at least age 70, based on everything you know today, because you're going to get this guaranteed increase of about 8% a year for each year you wait. And in fact, it's 1/12 of 8% of an increase every month. And so that idea that you could have, you know, in 3.5 years, you know, you could see that check grow, you know, by a pretty good bit. I mean, 28% higher than what you were expecting to get at full retirement age, and then get that for the rest of your life is a nice thing, because guaranteed income is really nice in that season. And, you know, it really comes down to how long you're going to live, which, of course, none of us know the day or the hour the Lord is going to call us home. And yet, if you live, the numbers come out about 12 years. So if you live until at least age 82, you will be paid back for everything you gave up between 66 and 7 months and age 70. And you'll have that check 28% higher for the rest of your life. And that's a good thing, because with the rising cost of health care and just the other things you might have in that season of life, you know, you might really value that extra income down the road. So I think that's where, again, if you don't need the money, and you're certainly not going to get a guaranteed increase in the stock market, The only question is, am I going to live long enough to be paid back so I can enjoy it? You know, and that obviously is the unknown. But I think in most cases, if you're in relatively good health, you know, you could make a case that it makes sense. Do you follow that?
I do. I only have one other part that is as far as the decision, and that is the idea of, and again, I don't quote unquote need the money, but I do not have my home paid off. So the thought was, if I took that monthly check to put toward debt and use 3 years of that, it's whatever it is, probably $90,000 or so, would make a difference in the mortgage and ability to pay that off. So that was really probably the primary consideration as to why it might fit differently.
And I can certainly understand why you'd want to do that. And if you just have a conviction to be debt-free as soon as possible, then I'd say go for it. Apart from that, if you're just looking for, you know, hey, we'd like to be debt-free as soon as we can, but I want to do what makes the most financial sense, well, then I think you can look at it just in terms of crunching the numbers. What is that interest rate on your mortgage?
We refied at a time when things were good. It's right around 3%.
Okay, yeah, so you got a great rate on it. And if you just continue doing what you're doing right now, and if you're sending any extra just out of cash flow without having Social Security, if you were to continue doing that, and you may not be, and that's fine, how quickly do you think you'll have this paid off just based on what you know today?
Well, that's just it. When we refinanced it, we did another 30, and unless we did, and I do send extra every month, but not huge. It's not like I'm doubling or anything.
Sure.
And so it's not going to be paid off within the next 10 to 15 years.
Okay.
If we do what I was thinking, certainly it would accelerate it. But even at that, I'm not sure it would be paid off like in the next 5-7 years, something like that.
Got it.
And,
okay.
I mean, the other factor that, you know, again, as you said, we don't know that the day or the hour, but genetically, I have on my side of the family several people that lived to 90 and or 100. Mm-hmm. So who knows? But if that were to ring true, I could receive those benefits for a substantial amount of time.
Yeah. So I think all things being equal, I mean, let me just ask, last question is, how do you and your wife feel about the debt? Is that something that just, as you think about it, pray about it, you're really wanting to get out of that? Or is it really more about what just makes the most financial sense? And even though we'd like to be out of debt, we're willing to hang on to this a bit longer if that makes more sense on paper.
Yeah, again, not to complicate, but I think it's a little bit of both in that we would love to be debt-free, but I think we're even willing to consider downsizing, selling the house, which would allow us to pull out a substantial amount of equity and become debt-free that way, as opposed to just the idea of accelerating it as we discussed before.
Okay. Well, I think from everything I'm hearing, I mean, ultimately, you're the steward. Pray through it. You and your wife together come to a conviction and go for it. And I don't think you can go wrong with any of these. So let me just say that. I think just based on what I'm hearing, given the longevity in your family, given the fact you're planning to work, you don't need the money, and you have a really attractive low mortgage, even though it's going to go on for quite a bit of time because of that refi, that low 3% rate, alongside the fact that you're going to get that guaranteed 8% increase and that 28% higher check for life that could go into your 90s and even beyond. I just think that at the end of the day is going to make more sense, especially given your willingness to think about even downsizing. So I'd probably come down on that side of the ledger, but I don't think you can go wrong with either of these, if that's helpful.
It's very helpful. I appreciate your wisdom and all that you do. Thanks, and God bless all that you do.
Thank you, Michael. I appreciate you saying that. God bless you, sir. Folks, if you'd like to support our work here as a listener-supported ministry, this is a really important time between now and June 30th. Just go to faithfi.com and click Give. That's a tax-deductible gift, and we'll certainly be grateful. Let me say thanks to my team today, Devin Patrick, Jim Henry, and Robert Youngblood. Couldn't do it without them, plus the rest of the team here at Faith 5. Have a great day, and come back and join us tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.